And I think there's about 10 or so sessions there, and you can track it. So it's very important that you understand the theological basis for what we are praying for, because we must pray according to the perfect will of God. And remember, our key text was the letter to the church at Philadelphia. And to the church at Philadelphia, Philadelphia meaning brotherly love, right? Philos, Delphos, Philadelphia, brotherly love. And to that church, Jesus came in a certain way saying, I am he who opens a door and no man can shut, and I can shut a door and no man can open. And I have the keys of David in my hand. We'll pray about that dynamic, the keys of David, later on. But I'm just paraphrasing what we prayed over last time. He said to this specific church that he has set before them an open door, and that no man will be able to close it, because this church has been faithful, because it has had little strength or little power, but they have kept the word of the Lord. Even in the time of their testing, they've kept the word of the Lord. And we spoke about being faithful last time in the hour of your testing, to be faithful during the hour of your trial, to keep the word of the Lord, and God will do amazing things for you, okay? I want to come back to Revelation 3 later on, but for this morning's focus, I want to focus on Hosea chapter 2 and verse 14. It's a very powerful portion of scripture, perhaps one that you guys know well. Let me read it, and then I'll share the focus for the prayer. This portion says, therefore, I will allure her. I will lead her. I will woo her. When you allure someone, you entice them. So God is speaking to Israel and to us, the global church. God is saying, I will woo you. I will allure you. And I will bring you into the wilderness, and I will comfort you there. The wilderness is not necessarily a bad place or a bad season. In fact, if you look back over your life, your most significant developments have been in the wilderness. Your most significant spurts of spiritual growth have been in seasons of testing and seasons of journey and seasons of seeming lack, is where God developed particular things within your spirit. Remember in Luke 4, it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And so sons of God are led into the wilderness. The crucial difference is, you must not run to the wilderness. You must be led or lured there by the Lord. You see, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The wilderness journeys of Israel for 40 years in the desert was not really the leading of the Lord as much as it was as a result of their own personal failure. God's intention was that they only spend about 11 days there, but they eventually spend 40 years there because of a lack of faith, disobedience, etc. Now, so I want to encourage you that don't disparage the present season you might be in. It might be a wilderness of various characteristics. One's wilderness cannot be compared to another one's wilderness. Your wilderness might be financial, yet another person might be having financial success, yet might still be in a wilderness of a different kind. various kinds of wilderness experiences. Now, the leading of the Lord, God leads you there to accomplish specific things within you. Now, hear me, this is a prophetic word to all of you who are listening this morning. The next verse is crucial. God says, if God allured you there, if God led you there by his Spirit, verse 15 says, I will give her vineyards from there. Now, vineyards do not grow in the wilderness. So these two conditions, vineyard and wilderness, are opposites. They're not compatible. Yet God is saying, I'm going to make certain levels of success compatible with your wilderness experience, just to prove to you that it was not because of your environment that the vineyards grew. It had to be me, because your environment dictated that there should be no vineyard, but yet you have a vineyard in your wilderness. And then this is the next part that we want to pray over. And the valley of Achor as a door of hope. Now, the phrase that we're going to pray over is a door of hope. And I hear the Lord saying, I have set before you an open door. And the door that we're going to open this morning and enter through is a door of hope. Okay? I have set before you a door of hope. Now, the particular place of the wilderness that is described here is the Valley of Achor. The Valley of Achor becomes a door of hope. God led you there. Valley speaks of a low point. A valley is a natural depression. It's not a high point. This is a low point in your life. It's a wilderness time in your life. And it's described as a valley of Achor. Achor means the following: trouble, tribulation, or sorrow. Trouble, tribulation, or sorrow. Let me paraphrase. God is saying, in the midst of your low point of trouble, you're going to see a door. In the midst of your low point of tribulation, you're going to see a door. In the midst of your low point of sorrow and pain, you are going to see a door. And like I said on Wednesday, doors in Scripture denote portals of access into new realms. A door gives access into new realms. A door gives access into new environments. A door gives access into new jurisdictions. A door, if you access it, changes your landscape, changes your view from what you see now to what you will see later on. But notice the contrast. God is saying, I'm going to give you vineyards in a wilderness, right? Then in your low point, your valley of Achor, which is trouble, your valley of tribulation, your valley of sorrow and pain, I will make a door of hope. Now, listen to me very, I will listen to the scripture very carefully. God is not saying, I will give you a door in the valley. God is saying, if you read it carefully, I will give you, or I will give you the valley of Achor as a door. Now, I know what you are expecting. You were expecting, if you envision this passage in your mind, some of you were picturing someone in a depression, in a desert, and suddenly a door, like a literal door, appeared before the person, and they're going to walk through, right? I'm sure that's what the image you had in your mind. Forget it, cancel that thought. That's not the image here. The image here is the literal valley is the door. The wilderness is the door. The valley of Achor as a door. Everyone say as a door, right? It's the valley of, I'll give you the valley of Achor as a door. In other words, it's all about, the door will be your reality if you have the correct mindset in reference to your trial. Your trial is not a cul-de-sac. Your trial is not a no-entry sign. Your trial is not an obstacle. Your trial is a door. The Valley of Achor is a door. The wilderness is a door. But specifically, this door is described as a door of hope. And I taught you extensively on hope. What is hope? Hope is a mental attitude of expectancy concerning a positive outcome in the future. Now, faith is the substance hoped for. Hope is part of faith. When you have faith, your attitude about the future, this is thinking forward, not thinking backward. You push your mind forward and you say to yourself, I have a positive expectation for my future that something good is going to happen. But the doorway to that place is called Achor. Some of you are saying Einar, never mind Achor, okay? Some of you are saying, ouch. Is my ouch a door? Your ouch is a door. Your pain is a door, okay? So I want you to, we're gonna pray for the first prayer point. I want you to ask God, and not only for your present trial, for any future trial. See every valley of Achor as the door of hope, of expectancy concerning the future. Okay? Let's pray that this will be your reality. Let's unmute and just let me just say this as you pray. You reconfigure your present trial. It's not a valley. It's not a wilderness. It's a door of opportunity. It's a door of hope. Okay.
Almighty God and loving Father,
Lord, we come to you this morning.
We honor you, Lord.
We say thank you for
waking us up this morning.
I pray God, in the world, we shall be in the future. Desolation, also
Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you. If you are taking notes, you may want to write this cross reference. It's Psalm 84 and verse 6 and 7. It says something very similar. Let me just quickly read it to you. It says, passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. Right? Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. And they go from strength to strength. Everyone say strength to strength, right? When you go through a valley, you don't go from weakness to weakness. When you go through a valley, okay, we just read about the valley of Achor. This valley in Psalm 84 is called the valley of Baca. And Baca means weeping. But you know, when you go through this valley, you don't camp in the valley, you go through. Don't stop, go ahead, right? You simply carry on proceeding. And it says, I don't have time to read the whole psalm. It's a powerful psalm, this. If you study the psalm, why does the valley of Baca weeping become a place of pools? Pools meaning water that refreshes. So your weeping experience can become a refreshing experience, a revitalizing experience, all based upon your mindset. What is the mindset that you engage the valley? Okay. And it says, not God. God doesn't change the valley of weeping into a valley of pools or refreshment. It says they do. It says they go through the valley, and the valley becomes a pool of springs. They go from strength to strength. Right? I always have said the principle of growth in God is from strength to strength. It's from one position of strength. While you are strong, go to the next position of strength. When you go from strength to weakness, that's regression. And you can be restored from weakness to strength. But going from weakness to strength is restoration. Going from strength to strength, that is growth. And it says in the valley of Baca, they go from strength to the next level of strength. If you're sitting next to someone, or if you are alone, then speak to yourself. Say this, while you are yet strong, go to the next place of strength. It's strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. Now, if we go back to Hosea chapter 2 from verse, we were in verse 15. Now, we are still in verse 15. I really believe, my heart has been so troubled in recent times for some people in our house that do not have jobs or do not have the job that they would prefer, or desire promotions, etc. I really believe God's going to give the house such very, very powerful buoyancy within the marketplace and ascendancy within the marketplace. And I know current trials have been like a wilderness. But I'm here to declare to you, behold, says the Lord, I have set before you an open door, and no man will be able to shut it. No demonic agency and no human agency can close a door that God has opened. Now it says there, vineyards in the wilderness, the valley of Achor as a door of hope. And she, that's Israel, she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came up from the land of Egypt. Symbolically speaking, Egypt in its coming, or Israel in its coming up out of Egypt, is defined in her development as a youth. So a youth. When Israel comes out of Egypt, Israel is a youth. Now, there must have been ecstasy, not so? There must have been great joy in Israel when they left Egypt after being incarcerated for 430 years. God said, that is the kind of feeling I'm going to give you when you walk through the door of hope. It's going to be so unparalleled, the joy, so unprecedented. You are going to sing like you've never sung before. It's going to be equated to a nation coming out of 430 years of Egyptian bondage. Now, who would like that kind of joy? I mean, we all love joy. We all love breakthrough. We all love God to give and do things for us. But I hear the Lord saying, the level of joy, the kind of joy that I'm going to give to you is going to be equated to a youthful joy, a youthful nation coming out of 430 years of national bondage. And the associated joy is going to be unprecedented, okay? It's what the scripture says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, let me just reference one more thing, and then we're going to pray about this matter. In Genesis, listen carefully, chapter 41 and verse 50, it says specifically that Joseph had two sons, and the first son is called Manasseh. You know this, right? Because Joseph said, God has caused me to forget all my hardship and my father's house. Now, remember, I taught you that the two meanings of Manasseh, forget my troubles or forget my hardship, and then forget my father's house. The one meaning is good. The second part of the meaning, not so good, because Joseph literally forgot Jacob, his father's house. But the first part of the meaning of Manasseh is good. God has caused me to forget my troubles. Now, would like to forget your troubles. Anybody? You want the troubles to be history. You want to put, there's certain things about your experience. You want the Lord to delete the files in your memory. Joseph is saying, when Manasseh was born, now obviously Manasseh was born, and this guy is second in charge to the Pharaoh by this time. He's got great restoration and the favor of God in his life. And Joseph comes to recognize, wow, God has caused me to forget the hardship and the pain that my brothers have inflicted upon me. Now, I taught you several sessions on the principle of forgiveness. Now, you forget the hardship by forgiving. Forgive the person and God will cause you to forget the associated pain. For, forgive people, and God causes you to forget the trouble that they caused you. Forgive people. Remember the letter to the church at Philadelphia, where God said, I have set before you an open door. Phila from philos, philia, love. Delphia from Delphos, meaning brother or brotherly love, those who issue forth from the same womb. So Philadelphia means brotherly love. It's to this church that God says, a church that loves, a church that excels in brotherly love, I have set before you an open door. There's no open doors that's going to come to people that do not master covenant, do not master love, do not master forgiveness. So I really believe God's going to cause you to forget. And then it says, and the second son, when God gave Joseph a second son, and he called the name of the second son Ephraim, for he said, the Lord has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now, maybe you should all put that up as your status today. Put it as a post on Facebook as a statement of faith. You must put this statement, fruitful in the land of my affliction. Fruitful in the land of my affliction, right? Hosea says, I was in a wilderness, but there was vineyards. I was in a valley of Achor, but there was a door of hope. And Joseph picks up on this theme, and he says, God has made me fruitful in the environment and in the land of my affliction. I wrote in my notes, and we're going to pray about this. This is good. Please remember, these prayer meetings are more prophetic directives for the house than anything else. This is your portion. This is what you're going to expect this week. God's going to defy what your environment presently dictates to you. God's going to cause you, God's going to press some delete some memory files of hardship, of pain, of negative experience associated with people, and to validate this. You see, Manasseh means to forget the pain, forget the acorn, forget the wilderness, forget the trouble. But you need an Ephraim, right? You need an Ephraim. And I wrote in my notes here, listen carefully. One's Ephraimic purpose, your success, one's Ephraim experience is only practically realized when one revisits and deals with your Manassaic encounters. We all have had Manassaic encounters. Manasseh, brothers have hurt us. Let's forget that so that we focus and enjoy our Ephraim success and fruitful positions in Christ. Now, let's unmute. I want you to pray and let this phrase ring in your mind, fruitful in the land of my affliction. I am fruitful in the land of my affliction. God's going to give me an Ephraim because I have learned to forget the affliction of those that have hurt me. Forget the pain of the past and let's venture forth into a success and a fruitfulness that God has given to us. Let's pray about this. Come on, just thank the Lord. Thank you for us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I want you just to, as we close, just close your eyes just envision a door. Sometimes we have to use our imaginations. God has given you five senses. Use it. As a man thinks, so is he. I want you, as you close your eyes, to see the door that God has set. The word set in the Greek literally means to give. I will give it to you. And no human or demonic agency will be able to close what I open, declares the Lord. I have set before you an open door. Envision the valley of Achor becoming a door of hope. Envision the valley of pain, trouble, and tribulation is actually your opportunity. Your current crisis is your current opportunity to go to the next level. Picture vineyards in a wilderness. Picture a desert. Then in that same condition, see lush vineyards with grapes in abundance growing and new wine flowing. Picture the valley of Baca, which is weeping, grief, sorrow, becoming pools of springs that bring you refreshment and revitalization in the name of Jesus. See yourself not going backwards. See yourself going from strength to strength. I prophesy over you, your present trajectory and pathway in the future in God will always be from strength to strength. It's not going to be from strength to weakness and then back to strength again. It's going to be from strength to strength. But Paul says, when I'm weak, then I am strong. If you perceive weakness, your perception must be, this is not weakness, this is actually the strength of God being perfected in me. Picture yourself like Joseph. God's going to cause you to forget the trouble of yesterday, the trouble of brothers, the trouble of misrepresentation, hurt, and betrayal. Forgive them. Become a Philadelphia church. Become a church mastering brotherly love. And God will not only give you Manasseh, God is about to give you Ephraim. And Ephraim does not just mean fruitful. Ephraim actually means doubly fruitful. It is fruitful, fruitful. It is twice fruitful. It's abundant fruitful. And I want you to picture in your minds, get used to perceiving of abundance. Some of us are so poverty mind, have a poverty mindset, we only think meagerly. We can't even manage. If God had to give us 5 million rand now in your bank account, some of us can't perceive of it to manage it. I want you to have the mental structures, enlarge your mental capacity to engage and administrate a level of abundance that God wants to bring to you. Manasseh and Ephraim. Valley of Achor, door of hope. Valley of Baca, place of pools and refreshment. Manasseh, Ephraim. Wilderness, vineyards. I will be fruitful in the land of my affliction. I will be fruitful. Father, I thank you and I declare this over the house. A new double fruitfulness, not just single fruitfulness. I declare double fruitfulness in the land of affliction that you might have led us into. You've alerted us. You've led us to this place. I ask in Jesus' name, give us fruitfulness, double fruitfulness that will make us forget the pain of the past. All this for your glory. All this for your honor. All this to fast track your corporate purposes. We pray like Hannah prayed. Give us a son. Break this barrenness. Give us a Samuel and we will give him back to you. Give us breakthrough. We will give it back to you. Give us success. We will give it back to you. Give us financial success. We will use it to facilitate corporate purpose in the wider kingdom. Give us a Samuel. Give us the capacity to hear your voice like he did more accurately, that your kingdom might be advanced in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. 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 I have taped, we are recording now from this point onwards, all the prayer sessions, and they will be filed on my website, and you'll be able to access the content of this if you need to. Also for the sake of others who might have missed prayer meetings, because God is doing such profound things in these prayer meetings, we felt the need to record them and to document them. Amen. So I want to see on your statuses, fruitful in the land of my affliction. Amen. Fruitful in the land of my affliction. And if you want the reference, where is it? Genesis 41. You can read from 50 to 52, but the reference for that phrase is verse 52. These are the words of Joseph. God has made me successful or fruitful in the land of my affliction. I want to encourage you, on Sunday we're getting back to our series on healing. So it's the next installment on healing. I can't tell you, just 2 days ago, we received some testimonies of how God is using the healing series again to heal many people. And I realized this is the leading of the Lord. Amen. And then next week, Wednesday, we have house church. And I really want to encourage you to listen intently to this week's message. It's loaded with a lot of serious principles that I want you to process in your discussions at house church next week. Amen. Renee, do you have anything to say before we sign off?
All good, Randolph. Thank you so much for those prophetic insights. I was really blessed by it. Love you guys. Love all the sons of the house. You are precious to us. Bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Also, I want to encourage you. What phrase besides fruitful in the land of my affliction, what phrase grabbed you? I'm going to put a brief report in the prayer meeting now on the WhatsApp group. I want to encourage you, just to encourage others to attend prayer meeting. Won't you just put a brief thought or a brief word of encouragement? What has the Lord told you in this prayer meeting? What has he spoken? What has blessed you the most, etc. Amen. But great grace and abundance. Where is Levi? I see Matthew there. He's my boy around. I need to see him. Is he? Hey, there's he. Hallelujah. Hello, Paul. Yeah. Yay. Hello.
Hello, Paul.
He's been in the prayer meeting.
He's having his breakfast.
Waking up. Well, while you enjoy your grandson, Pastor Randolph, many happy returns for tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We bless you for your birthday. You are a true, true gift to the house. Bless you.
Amen. Thank you all. Thank you, Anne. Amen. I don't count birthdays. I'm living in the realm of timelessness. I'm living in the eternal, in the invisible. Every now and then I come to earth. Thank you so much. Amen. Well, great grace and abundant peace to all. Have a great Saturday. Bless you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.